Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, the 21st of January, 2025. It's just amazing. It really, the last time I talked to you by myself, I mean, CA, thank God, was my guest last week and was able to share the talking with me. But the last time I talked to you was December 17th. So I've been studying, reading, listening, doing a lot of stuff since then, and I have a lot to share with you today, and I'm excited about it. It feels really good to just be here with you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening however and whenever you do. I appreciate it. And it's been interesting around here in Colorado. We've had sub-zero temperatures at night for I think about 4 days now. But today's the breaker. It's actually going to be 40 degrees today. It's been in like yesterday, I think the high was 11 or something like that, and then below zero overnight. So my little faucet in my little bathroom has been dripping for, 4 days just to make sure that the water keeps going. But man, talk about cold. Poor little Grace, she goes outside just to do her business and she's, lifting one paw up and then the other paw up because it was so cold. But then the other thing that I feel bad about, not that it was within my control at all, the weather, but, she hadn't had a walk in a couple of weeks because I wasn't feeling well. And so our first walk was last Thursday. We walked Thursday and Friday, and then that's when it dropped and snowed. And so too cold, too cold for both of us, but especially for those little tiny paws. Grace is a Bichon, so she, is a whopping 11-pound, 12-pound dog. And big spirit, but little dog with little paws. So it just wasn't wise to get her out. Hopefully tomorrow we can do that. It's going to be cold, but as long as there's not snow on the ground, she doesn't have to walk through much snow, we should be good. We should be good. And speaking of Grace, I just have to share this with you. While I was gone over Christmas, my friend who I went to, pardon me, I met at ICI, the InterKit, the psychic institute that we both attended. So I've known her for, geez, 20 years. It'll be 20 years this year, 2005. We met in 2005. And she does my hair, and she's just a really wonderful person. So I knew, I asked her if she'd be interested in house and Grace sitting for me. And she, she jumped on that. And I just absolutely had no thought, really, while I was gone, no concern at all about the house and if Grace was being taken care of, because I knew she would be, because Becky is just meticulous. And she's just such a good person. She's done a lot of caretaking for people and at end of life kind of caretaking, which she said to me the last time we talked, I'm never doing that again. It's just too hard. And I get that. I really get that. But she just does a lot of things. And she has an aunt right now who is, who's in a care facility, and over Christmas, she fell and broke her hip and just a lot of stuff. And she's there every week. She picks her up. She takes her to lunch. She's just a good, good soul. And I really admire that about her. I really do. She is of service. I mean, she really, truly is. And she probably, if I said that to her, she'd probably go, what are you talking about? But she truly is. And so I just have a lot of admiration and respect for her. But I saw her for the first time after she took care of Grace last Friday morning. She did my hair for me. And she raved about Grace. I mean, she told me, we text back and forth, and she said, Grace is a gem. She's doing great. I'm really enjoying her, and the house is fine, and, that kind of thing. But she just went on and on and on about Grace. And apparently Grace had more adventures with her than she's had in years with me, because she took her to the nursing home to visit her aunt, and of course Grace was the star of the nursing home. I mean, she's a little fluffy dog. She looks like a stuffed animal, you know, a little white fluffy dog. And she is really, really cute. And so she was just the star of the nursing home. Everybody just loved having her there. And she even, when her aunt fell, she even took her to the hospital and they let her in, which is kind of an interesting thing. I mean, she's not a service dog, but anyway, they let her in. She took her to her house for Christmas Eve dinner, Christmas Day dinner, and New Year's Day dinners with her family. And she said each of the time that she was having dinners, of course her aunt was included because she hadn't hurt herself at that point, she sat on her lap. So that was just, and Grace is such a healer. I think dogs are healers. And I like cats. I've got nothing against cats, but I'm a dog person. I really am. And the whole time that I wasn't feeling well, Grace was right next to me, in bed, on the bed. I'm in bed. She's on the bed, on her side of the king-size bed. And she just is. She did that with Janet, too, my husband. You know, if he wasn't feeling well, she was right there with him, sitting on his lap, laying in bed with him. Whatever she needed to do, she was there. So she's just really good at it. And she was just saying that at the dinners, everybody just loved her. Her kids, her mom, her aunt. And the funny thing is that she brought her back to her house. Now, she does hair and she does a bunch of things, but she's a psychic and she does readings. And she does readings at her house for people. So she took Grace there, and I told her, you know, when I get a call, Grace knows the ring for when to listen. So she jumps up, I jump up, we go from my office if I get a chat, I'll do it at my desk. But this is where I work, study, do all that kind of stuff. But I have a reading room, and I take every single call from when to listen in my reading room. And once in a great while, I have a local client that might come in, or I have local clients, I should say, that might come for a reading. But that's very, very few and far between. My primary business is on one to listen. But every time the phone rings, we head down the hallway to our reading room. And she has a bed in there. She has a bed right behind me that she's sitting in now. And so she'll sit on the bed, or she'll sit on the chair opposite me. Because, you know, she rules. She's all furniture is Grace's furniture. But I was telling Becky that. I said every single time, every reading, Grace is with me. She just lays down. And if it's an in-person client, she greets them. She's happy to see them. She'll do her Zoomies for them. But when we sit down and I said we're going to work, she lays down on her bed and holds space. She holds space for me. When I read, holds space for us when I have someone else in there, and actually for us when I'm talking to someone on the phone. Same thing, really. But so anyway, she said she has tall bar stools and a taller table. And she said, I just looked at Grace and I said, I know your mom said that you work with her, so she had like an ottoman or a footstool or something. She said, You can sit there. And she said, of course, the woman came in, Grace greeted her, they get started, and here's Grace sitting on the ottoman, just holding space for her. And she just couldn't, you know, she couldn't get over it. She just couldn't get over it. She even took her to the salon and let her wander around in the salon. And all of the clients that were there just really loved it. So, I mean, she had a great, 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 great adventure while I was gone, which makes my heart happy, but also makes me think I must be the most boring person on earth. So we got to figure out some adventures, I guess, for Grace and I, not just our walks. But I just thought it was sweet, you know, just how wonderful it was for me to have somebody that not only I knew I could trust and would take care of Grace in the house, but that really, really enjoyed Grace, loved Grace. She said, you should have called me when you weren't feeling good. I would have gone over and taken her for a walk, which she probably would have. I didn't think of that. But she goes, next time you leave, I want her. Just let me, you know, just let me know. So that's good to know too, because I've used Rover in the past, and they've, you know, I really never had a problem with Rover, but they're not people that I know. And here she is going to somebody else's house, and, you know, she's, to have her be able to stay in her house or go to Becky's house was perfect. So I just won't do anything different if I can possibly help it going forward. But anyway, I thought I'd share that with you because I do talk about Grace every now and then here on the show. But I just want to say thank you again for listening today. And if you can, join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment, and I will answer them through the chat room over the show, after the show, I should say. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day at 12listen.com. And I am back to my normal schedule. I'm available usually mid to later morning, Pacific into the evening. And if you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And just a reminder that I remind you every week, we do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. You know, and what that means is calls and chats are at reduced rates. We call them specials. And if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all that is you leave your email address. I have until probably about mid-February a clear for the new year time-based session available, 15-minute time-based session. And it's really all about meeting this new year, 2025, clear and on purpose. We'll do a healing and identify and release limiting beliefs and energy to facilitate your powerful expression in this year. It's a great way to start the year. And I think one thing, you know, if you think in terms of this year is going to show up for me the way I show up for it, it's really good to get a bunch of stuff off your plate and be open and available for good. You know, to have a strong and powerful being senior, certain, and clear in your space, because you're it. You are the center of your universe. Life shows you who you are. Period. So it's all in our lap. It all depends on us. So anyway, that's my time-based session. And as I said, that'll be probably into the first week or 2 weeks of February. And of course, as always, I want to remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen. The advisors of 12listen, all you have to do is post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or something that you're working to bring into your reality. You know, attention is power, and attention, focused attention, what you focus on will always expand. Attention is our superpower. Really, it is. Because good, bad, or indifferent, whatever it's focused on, will expand. So, post something good, either that's in your reality or what you're looking to bring into your experience, I should say. And the advisors of 12listen will add our intention to yours. That board is moderated by us all day long, every day. And you can post anonymously. So why not do it? It's a great way for us to support you. And again, thank you for listening. However and whenever you do, 12radio, there's programming 24/7. There are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 12radio is a great source of inspiration, and support. So please take advantage. Please take advantage. And I just want to say thank you to Serena for producing my show today. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Shamantic by Zingaya from the Souls on Earth CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it. I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I am happy you are here.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. One of the Pamela in the chat room said she was enjoying it. It would be great music to dance around a nice warm fire, too. That's a good, I think so. I agree. So, you know, I spent the last quarter, if not more, of 2024 just reading and listening to new thought authors, becoming reacquainted with them after many years and experiencing their teachings from where I am now, where I am after many, many years of studying a lot of different things. And it was just wonderful. I mean, they came alive and they showed, I just saw different things because I was in a different place, and God always meets you where you are, no matter where that is. So it was just, I really loved sharing it with you. It was powerful stuff. And also I wrote a lot about it in the Power Peak, in my articles in the Power Peak. But over the past several weeks, I've been reading and listening to Joel Goldsmith. And Joel is just my guy. He really is just my guy. And after a bit of a break, it was clear to me why Joel and The Infinite Way are really my foundation, the philosophy that I return to that resonates really the deepest for me. And everything I read, everything I learn, I get something out of. And because I know I wouldn't be reading it or like directed back to New Thought after all those years, there was great, powerful stuff that I learned and shared. So, you know, it's a no mistakes universe. And I live by my intuition and, you know, what I'm directed to, what I'm led to read or dig deeper into, is no accident. And I know it's no accident. So listening to Joel, you can hear Joel Goldsmith teachings on YouTube. And they're just phenomenal to me. And they always have been. I think I started listening to Joel about 10 years ago. So, yeah, probably 10 years ago, maybe a little longer. And I, like I said, I always go back. I always return to Joel. And I have his book, The Heart of Mysticism, which are the letters that he wrote to Infinite Way students from 1955 to 1959. And they're incredible. I mean, they are just incredible. And I have every book. I think I have every book. I've read every book that he wrote. And there's, you know, a lot of those. But anyway, I just keep, he's it. And the reason is for me, and again, I share everybody because people hear differently, people, different teachers influence us and others don't. So my job is to share what I learn, to learn, to read, to study, which is my happy place, and to realize and share it with you. So, again, Joel, you know, may not do it for you, but the reason why I think I love his teaching so much is it's simple instruction for day-to-day experience of Source. And as Neville said, God is known by experience or not at all. And that is true. So what I want to share with you is some of the stuff that I heard and listened to that really hit me like a ton of brick over the past couple of weeks. So I think we'll make a full circle at the end, but I don't know. All I know is this is what I have to talk about today, because this is what I have to talk about today. So I want to start with a line that from Joel, one thing that he said that just it makes absolute sense. He said, we have one demonstration to make, and that is God. So I want to talk about from that, which may not sound like it connects at all, I want to talk about the idea of happily ever after. You know, if I've talked to so many people who say, I think I'm done with going through stuff. And it's like, okay, like I've earned happily ever after. I've earned a easy ride from here on out. And you know, that's just not what we're here for. That is not what we're here for. Now, if happily ever after is what you think you are entitled to, you are, as the individualization of source. But happily ever after doesn't mean there are no challenges or problems. We came to this incarnation to find our way back to the garden, right? To the Garden of Eden, to source, to reveal the face of the divine. And the only way we can do that is through growth. And we only grow by overcoming adversity. Problems, as ugly as they may be, are our greatest opportunities for growth. And when we know who we are, when we know who we are as the individualization of source, you know, and when we know that life is a wild card and it shows up as it will, but we're only affected negatively or positively by what we believe about it. So if we dwell in the infinite self, which is the soul, self, being, consciousness, life of each of us, and surrender everything to it, it takes care of us. It does. And that way we can look at whatever that thing is, no matter how ugly it might be that's showing up for us, and realize that it is just a thing that's happening. And we either empower it or take its power away from it by what we believe about it. If we believe it's a horrible thing, it's going to show itself to us as a horrible thing. If we see it as a thing that's happening and detach and become neutral to it, which may take a little effort, but it can be done, then it loses its power. Because anything, anything only has the power to affect us by what we give it. We give it its power. And we believe it's going to affect us in a certain way, and it does because we believe it. We can only live what we believe. So, but happily ever after, you know, we can be happy and good even when something we don't really particularly like is going on, because it's not us. That thing is not us. It's just a thing that's happening. It is, and the less we resist it, the sooner it leaves, and especially the sooner any negative effects that we're feeling disappear. So, Joel said, if God is infinite love, all-knowing, omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, and God is the self of every man, then we don't need to tell God anything or ask for anything. As Reverend Ike said, creation is finished. God has nothing more to give us because we have it all. And God is not a withholding God. The kingdom of heaven, the infinite storehouse, is within us. And it contains everything we could possibly need or want. And every good desire to be more, have more, do more, know more, and give more is given us by God, by Source, who becomes more of itself through us. It experiences the physical as us. It is the subjective. It is the witness. God is, capital IS, and God experiences the physical as man. Therefore, God is man. So as Joel said, we have one demonstration to make, and that is God. Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink, or wherewithal you shall be clothed. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he said, that was Matthew 6, 31 through 33, but in Luke 12, 32, he said, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we have the kingdom within us. We have it. Everything. Everything. God has no more to give us. No more to give us. Because God gave us himself. God is us. God is the self of man. So we have everything, and nothing comes to us from outside of us, but it comes through us from that infinite storehouse within through our demonstration of the infinite self. So I was listening to one of the tapes that I listened to of Joel's was called The Self, and he said there is one self. That which unites me with you, and that which is living my life and your life. Since God is the self of us, then my supply, and supply is what you need when you need it, whatever that is already established within me. Ooh, I love that word established. That's a powerful word. My supply is already established within me. And from this moment on, I must not look externally for supply. I must not look to it to come to me. I must begin to live with the idea that it is already at the center of my being and that I am opening out a way for it to flow. That is the first step. And he talked about forgiveness. He said, I don't forgive. I don't forgive. God does. I don't love. God does. And that's the thing, just aside from Joel at this moment, every good thing, every positive thing, every talent, every ability, love, forgiveness, joy, integrity, giving, serving, those aren't human. Those are aspects of the divine, and they flow through us. And when he was talking about forgiveness, he said, I don't forgive. God does. Forgiveness flows through me to others. I just let it happen. And that takes all the pressure off. You know, because there are a lot of, think about that. You know, forgiveness, we know it's important because whoever we can't forgive, they're sitting on our head. That's all there is to it. We bind them to ourselves. And so, as Joel said, only that which I release can I be released from. You know, anything that I hold is held against me. Forgiveness, whatever, you know, forgiveness is whatever you release, you're released from. What you cling to is that which is binding you. And you are your own liberator. That's one of my favorite quotes, and it's sitting here on a yellow sticky note on my desk. But, you know, there are things and people and even ourselves. You know, I think the most forgiveness we're ever called to give in a lifetime is forgiving ourselves for the things that we've judged as being wrong, mistakes that we've made. It, you know, we beat the hell out of ourselves, and guilt and shame and unforgiveness and judgment of self, as Ram Dass says, just pushes us further and further and further away from God and away from our good. But if you think of forgiveness as a divine energy, a divine energy that flows through you to others, then you can drop it. You can turn it over. You can sacrifice it, surrender it. Whoever it is, whatever the situation is, let it go. Offload it. And just let that forgiveness flow through you. It does take all the pressure off. Every demand made on us is made on God, the source of supply. And we are just the transfer agent or instrument of it. Because we cannot meet those demands humanly. It's impossible. So everything that comes up to us, every problem, everything that is demanding an answer or a resolution is not made on us. It's made on the infinite self within, the God mind that meets every demand. If we trust it, if we rest in it, if we allow it to flow through us, whether it's forgiveness or money or love, we don't possess those qualities. But knowing God to be the self and that and all that God is stored up in me, and I have to open out a way. That's what I have to do, open out a way. And that opening out a way in this situation, as far as forgiveness goes or whatever it is that we can't do, that's surrender. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to get back to feeling good, you know, or get out of this judgment. I don't know. But that which lives me, the God that lives me, does. Therefore, I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for this to that which lives me. I sacrifice it to the infinite mind, to the infinite self. And, you know, when we open out a way for whatever it is, it flows out from us and it flows back to us, because we're the inlet and outlet of supply. And whatever flows out from you doesn't lessen what you have. It doesn't. It doesn't. Because supply is infinite. Supply is eternal. So whatever that is, supply, what you need when you need it. How to forgive somebody. That qualifies as supply. What you need. Peace. Peace. You know, letting it flow through you and then having that peace that passes understanding. That is supply. That is supply. And so whatever flows out from you, whatever you give, and let's turn that into money. You know, whatever you give, money or love, whatever it is you give comes back, because you are the inlet and outlet. If you're letting it flow through you, then you are open to receiving. And that is a fabulous way to operate. Just being the inlet and outlet of supply, the inlet and outlet of God's grace, infinite divine wisdom, infinite divine love, infinite divine supply. That's it. To whoever you encounter in any way. There's a poem that it's called Paracelsus. I think that's, I'm saying it correctly. It's by Robert Browning. And Joel refers to it often. In fact, pretty much every truth teacher I've ever listened to refers to it. And in it, Browning says, truth is within ourselves. It takes no rise from outward things, whatever you may believe. There's an inmost center in us all, where truth abides in fullness. To know rather consists in opening out a way whence the imprisoned splendor may escape, than in effecting entry for a light supposed to be without to enter. That's lovely. That's lovely. So now I want to move into a different area that I think, again, I think this is all a circle. I think it all goes together. But what I'm going to talk about now is from Spiritual Life Revealed, which is tape 182B, and Substance of Prosperity, which is 602A. And he talks a lot about mind. And he said that mind is an interpreter, an avenue of awareness, a translator, so to speak, of spiritual creation. He said, God is the substance of everything there is. Give up all concern for form and attain the conscious awareness of God as the substance of the reality of our being. God is. I am. Covers everything. Covers everything. He said, there is no... Now, this is big stuff, so open your head, float along with me on this stream of consciousness. Just decide to float, not struggle, because this is some pretty kind of deep, interesting stuff, different. He said, there is no material creation, just a material sense of spiritual creation. and a material sense of God. The entire universe is embedded in your consciousness. The universe as form is an activity of consciousness, the interpretation of the mind. The mind interprets based on four influences. 1, prenatal influence. 2, early environment. 3, education. And 4, personal experience. So that is ego. That is, other words for that, those four influences are ego, because our ego is made up of exactly that. Our experience, our early environment, you know, feedback from other people. Ego is a construct. It's what we believe about ourselves. But what we believe about ourselves is the result, I guess is a good word, of those things. You know, of those things. Early environment, education, personal experience. Because we can, you know, we only know, ego only knows what it's experienced. Which is why all it wants to do is keep you safe and separate. You know, it doesn't want you to realize your oneness with all it is and your oneness with God, because when you know that, you have no use for it. You know, it can't scare you anymore. And I think ego is really good at that. You know, really good at scaring us. You know, I remember, and I know I've said it before, every time I started a class at the Institute to teach a class, it would be, expect resistance, you know, because ego, when you're overriding it to learn something new, to expand yourself spiritually or in any other way, it thinks it's dying. And so it's going to kick up. And you might not feel like going to class, coming to class, you might feel tired, you know, a million and two excuses. So we always encourage people, students, to just overwrite it. To overwrite it, because it truly has no power, because it's not alive, you know. And the other thing about ego is it's mortal; it dies with the physical body, because it's just our concept of ourselves. I mean, that really is what it is. So, these things, as I said, ego, associative mind can cover those, that same concept. But Joel said these influences make up who we are as humans. They are our filters, and they compel us to see things as we do. The physical consists of spiritual emanations of God, but the mind interprets the physical through those influences, or again, the associative mind or ego, so we never truly see what is before us. And that's like when you meet someone or you have a new experience. This is just another example of this. You know, okay, you have a new experience. What happens? Meaning, here's a new person. Or you have to go do something. Like you have to go, I don't know, get your oil changed or whatever. What comes into your head? Every other experience you've ever had, getting your oil changed. Oh, remember the last time? Boy, we had to wait forever. You know, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, oh, that I'm going to have to wait forever. And so it's the same thing. We never have a new experience. We're in this present moment that is rich with all that we could need. Every new moment is a new beginning. But everything comes through our filters. Everything. And judgment and opinion and all those things that dull and dim what could be just a wonderful experience. So Joel said, mind forms and governs itself as form that we call matter. Mind appears to us as the finite form which it forms. In other words, those filters take spiritual emanations, which is everything, because God is, right? And makes it finite. But the finite form that it takes is molded by our influences, by our beliefs, our opinions. our judgments. So, but then he goes on to say, but this is God's universe. It, all that is in heaven is on earth. Heaven and earth are the same thing. But it's perceived through our influences and the instrument of the mind, and forms take on the background of the mind perceiving them. That's really cool. Forms take on the background or the influences of the mind perceiving them. But with that awareness and the awareness of the kingdom of heaven within us, the infinite self, we can change that. We can change that. We can stop that. We can realize what's happening when that's happening. And we can wait on spirit for inspiration and let it flow through the mind into the physical. And that's what happens, you know, when we meditate, when we practice the presence, when we sit, you know, in our inner sanctuary, which to me is the sixth chakra, behind the eyes, between the ears. And we just create a beautiful sacred space there where we just listen, where we're quiet, and we experience spirit, the movement of spirit within us. That is where we can wait. We wait for inspiration, support, intuition, inspiration comes to us. It is within us, but we have to be available to it. We have to be available to it. And that means whatever comes up to chatter in your head, you know, you sacrifice it. You let it go. Any negative thought, any busy stuff, you don't fight it. You just offload it. Yeah, I don't need that. I sacrifice that to all that is, to the void. And it, you don't fight it or push against it, because whatever you fight and push against is going to push back. Because by fighting it or pushing against it, you are empowering it. You're making it valid for you. And that's what you don't want to do. So you just go, oh, okay, there's a thought. I'm just going to let that thought go. I'm going to let it run through my head and out. And so in that space, in that sacred space within, we can just sit and be quiet and just wait for inspiration. You know, this is a good idea. I think this is what, you know, here's a next step. Here's an idea. What do you think about that? And then you just go, okay. And that too, whatever comes to us, surrendering it right back to God, giving it right back, then you're in that. You're in that flow. You know, you're in that. You're the clear instrument through which it can appear in the physical. You draw to yourself your good, but you know, humanly speaking, we don't know what our good is. We don't know, right? The human mind does not know. It can't. But the self does. The infinite self does. So by becoming self-aware and resting in that truth, surrendering to it as that which lives us, we become available for our good. We become available, and we're just available. And it shows up, and it's like, oh my gosh, thank you, Father. Thank you, God. You know, supply is incorporeal substance that shows up for us as what we need when we need it. Be it money, creative ideas, solutions to problems, friendship, anything we need. Prosperity is purely spiritual. Joel said, supply is not divisible. It is infinite. If we could stop entertaining false concepts of good or bad, which again go back to our human influences, and stop judging people and experiences, the mind would bring all good to us. The mind, unaffected by human influences, he said, is pure light and knowledge, and its appearances will conform more purely to its pure form. So here's our circle back to There's one demonstration to make, and that is God. You know, Ernest Holmes said that this is a mental universe that responds to our thoughts, desires, and faith. And that is true. That is true. I mean, we can work mentally and through visualization. And as U.S. Anderson says, thought plus faith equals demonstration. It's what we believe, what we put into it. But I guess what I want to say is all roads lead to Rome. Rome being the realization of God or source or whatever your word is as the self of you, the self of man, and that we can have a relationship with it, an ongoing, ever-expanding relationship with that infinite self. God is and experiences the physical as man. Therefore, God and man are one. You know, I found, for me personally, surrender to be the most practical path. It gets the influences out of the way and waits for support from spirit. As a human, I don't know anything, but that which lives me, the infinite self, does. So I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for everything to it, which is everything. You know, sacrifice is another avenue, another word for surrender, really. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita said to Arjuna, "The world is imprisoned in its own activity, except when actions are performed as a worship of God. Sacrifice your work to me. But in all your sacrificing, also sacrifice your suffering." Every negative thought or emotion, as well as our work and our joy, everything can be sacrificed to all that is. Rather than entertaining or fighting negative thoughts or emotions, just sacrifice them. Offload them. Offload them to the void. I snap my fingers when I do that. Offload them as quickly as they appear to keep your space clear. And the more you sacrifice, the more you let them go, the lesser and lesser and lesser they get. You know, they may keep coming back. There are some things that are just not a one and done, but keep doing it because you are powerful and what you say is done. So my dharma, as I said earlier, is to explore many teachers and many philosophies, to learn and realize and then teach them. I get something rich out of everything I explore, and my life is enriched because there is only one truth, and that is God is. God fills all space. There is no one outside of God's grace. So on that note, thank you for joining me today. I hope you found what I talked about interesting and helpful. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Have a very blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.